This message, I know it will connect with the day and some of the weather, but certainly it might sound almost funny where I'm going with this, but I am trying to impact not just Kevin, but every single one of us that recognizes that this world can be a dangerous place to raise our families. And what we need more than ever is Jesus Christ in the center of our lives. And so I want to make sure I emphasize that a little bit here today. 1 John 4:4 is kind of a small verse compared to some. So I'd like for us to read it out loud together, and they may be able to put it on the screen there for us. Let's read it. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is one of the most phenomenal things about the new birth experience, is that you can have Jesus Christ inside of you. And in this world, you need him inside of you. Amen. So I want to preach for just a little bit, and I'll give these scriptures as we go today. Outside, frightful. Inside, delightful. Maybe you know what I've been thinking about a little bit less. Little while. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for Kevin and Haley and Cadence, Lord. This little message, God, that may encourage and inspire them, their family and friends, Lord. But across this congregation, God, there is a church, even the core of this church family, that I would like for you to give us a fresh appreciation and an awareness of our position in these last days. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let something supernatural happen here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Outside, frightful. Inside, delightful. Now, in January, we try to lose weight, some of us, and so I got acquainted with the Jimmy John's lettuce wraps. Instead of this delicious bun with all kinds of carbs, you can put a delicious sandwich in a lettuce wrap. That's what I mean when I say outside frightful, but inside delightful. No, not really. No, I'm referring to that song. I adjusted the words a little bit, Kevin, so you can turn it into a nursery rhyme and you sing it to Cadence every night that you want to. The weather outside is frightful, but in here it's so delightful. The world is so dark and cold. Cadence, you need the Holy Ghost. I'll be here all week. No. Obviously, some of us were thinking about the weather. Probably the weather or not we was coming to church today. But I'm using that to kind of underscore a reality, and that is this world is dark and cold, and I'm not talking about the climate. Yes. Amen. And as we look at a little life that seems perfect in every detail, and I think Cadence would qualify for that kind of description, it reminds us that if we're going to raise our children in this kind of world, we need all the help from God that we can get. Amen. Amen. I was reading a scripture. In fact, whenever it storms on a Sunday, and I know this is the blizzard of 2018, but not for some of you. But for some of us, this is scary. And I always reflect on a scripture in the Old Testament that speaks of snow in a unique way. And there's no snow for miles from here, but just work with me. 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 20, it says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also, and he slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow." And I just like to insert that on a bad weather Sunday, because it took a lot for you to say, you know what, I think I'll get out of bed and I'll come to church. And yet we've got evidence in the scripture that you can slay a lion even on a snowy day. Even on a bad weather Sunday, you can give the devil a black eye. Now, I know if you're not familiar with Scripture, you may say, oh my goodness, this church believes in the devil. Well, I do believe in the Bible. And the Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. This is 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we're asked to resist him, being steadfast in the faith. And so we look at a lovely life like Cadence, and we are reminded that there is a devil that would like to destroy her, every single one of our children, and every single one of us. But you know, we could slay a lion on a snowy day. We can be in a pit on a bad weather weekend, and we can square our shoulders back, and we can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, the weather outside might be frightful, but I can still pray, get thee behind me, Satan. You can't have my kids. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my family. You know, this may surprise you, but there are marriages in this sanctuary that it wasn't always perfect. There are children in this sanctuary or connected to this church that haven't always been on the right road. But you know what? We still believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when trouble comes my way, I'm not going to blame people. I'm going to fight the devil through prayer and fasting and worship and the word. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it great to know the weather don't stop God? I'll say it again. You know, the whether or not you feel God, that doesn't stop God. The whether or not you feel spiritual, that doesn't stop God. The whether or not you feel worthy, that doesn't stop God. His word is true whether the weather is good, bad, or ugly. His word will work whether you feel all that spiritual or you barely think you're a Christian. What we need to do is recognize the weather outside is frightful, but I've got Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now I want to read a scripture, and I want to try to just bring this home in a very real way. It's right out of the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Some of you will be very familiar with this passage, verse number 1, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1. I believe it speaks to our day. It speaks to the day in which Kevin and Haley are doing their best to raise Cadence in a godly manner. It says, this know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it speaks of all kinds of evil. And if you were to go home and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, you might think that you were reading the news from just this past week. It's so relevant to our day, and it reminds us that these are the last days, and perilous times have come. It speaks of people that are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and they have a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. That is characteristic of the time that we are living in. That is a description of the kind of world in which Kevin and Haley have to raise Cadence. And I'm here to say that, yes, it is true that perilous times have come. And yes, it is true that this precious couple is raising their child in an atmosphere that can be cold and dark and utterly frightful. But I can guarantee them that the same God that we read about in the Bible is in their lives. He lives at their house. He knows that little baby even better than they know that little baby. And for all of us as well, yes, these are the last days and perilous times have come, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So now I want you to think about that. Paul says to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. But now look at Acts chapter 2, another description of the last days, verse number 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, Acts 2 and verse 17, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And the passage goes on for there. In the last days, on one hand, we've got perilous times. But in the last days, on the other hand, we've got God pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Come on the outside, it's frightful. On the outside, perilous times have come. But on the inside, in the church, God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. So the outside is frightful, but the inside is delightful, because as long as we are in the church, as long as God is pouring out his spirit, we will win. Praise the name of the Lord. Last week we emphasized the body of Christ and we emphasized the church, and I just want to add to that in the context of us living in perilous times, there has never been a better time to be in the church, to be a part of the body of Christ. We are loving Jesus. We are loving people and we are loving missions. Oh yes, we are giving the way he wants us to give. We are living the way he wants us to live. We are loving and serving the Lord. We're giving our lives to his will. It takes commitment and it takes sacrifice and it takes dedication to be in the church. But you know what? The weather outside is so frightful that I thank God for the church. I thank God for the family of God. I thank God for the body of Christ, because as long as I'm in the church, it's going to be delightful. Now, I have to give you a disclaimer. In the ark, it was a little smelly. When Noah's floating along the water for 40 days and 40 nights, no doubt there was some stink. But you know what? The weather outside was frightful. I'm not saying the church is perfect, but I am saying this: the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. If you're ever going to give the church your best, this is the time to give the church your best. I beg you, don't think that your future, your destiny is tied up in the institutions of this world, because this world will fail you. In the last days, it will be frightful. But if you can get in the presence of God, if you can get in the church. I'm not trying to be too personal to embarrass anybody, but I can't tell Brother Kevin that every day is going to be easy and every challenge is going to be met without any difficulty. Oh no, if you're like any other husband or any other father, there will be struggles and there will be difficulties and there will be challenges. The weather will get kind of frightful sometimes, but Brother Kevin, if you stay in the church, God will bless you. God will keep you. God will keep your baby and your family and your marriage. Oh, would you clap your hands as if to say, I've been there. I've been there. Praise the name of the Lord. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I promise this church, based on the word of God, that although the destiny for the world is perilous times, the destiny for the church is the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon this world that has ever witnessed. I'm telling you, and I won't give you all the facts and figures today, but there is a move of God that is literally circling the globe. This is the hour to get in the church. This is the hour to get filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the hour to say, Lord, no matter how dark, no matter how cold, no matter how frightful, I want to get in your presence. I want to get in your word. I want to get in prayer, and I want to experience everything that you have for me. I came across a study just recently was a research study that was performed by Indiana University and also Harvard University. And it speaks to our day. And in particular, it deals with what is happening in America as it relates to religion. There are many people that are concerned that as a nation, we are turning more secular. As a nation, we are kind of drifting away from God and from church. And this survey, this study, and all of the research that was accomplished, they are quick to inform. Oh, yes, there are some indicators that prove that some Americans are leaving church. But they said what we have discovered is that it's not that America is turning more secular. Oh, yes, there are some that don't have time for church and don't have time for God, but there are others that are leaving traditional churches and saying there's got to be more to God than this. There's got to be more to church than just these traditions and then just all of this formalism. There must be something on the inside that can give me victory over what I'm facing on the outside. And so this Harvard University study discovered that there are Americans turning to what they describe as intense religion. You know, that made me feel good. Some of y'all, that got you nervous. But thank God it was Harvard University and not just me that came up with this. They said more Americans are turning to intense religion. Moderate forms of Christianity are declining, but intense religion in the United States is persistent and exceptional. You know what they're saying in terms of this message? The weather outside is frightful. And people are deciding that if I'm going to know God, it's going to have to be more than just the denomination that I call myself and more than just that my coworkers think that I'm a Christian. I've got to experience the supernatural. I've got to experience something on the inside that's like fire. And so here are some brief statistics. 1 in 3 Americans are praying multiple times a day compared to 1 in 15 in other countries like ours. Attending services more than once a week. Imagine that. Attending services more than once a week continues to be 3 times higher among Americans compared to the average or comparable nations. In other words, it is intense when people around here commit themselves to the things of God and the Word of God and the house of God. And yet in America, there is something stirring that says it's so dark, it's so cold, it's so deadly. We need to get back to church. We need to get back to the Bible. Is there anybody here that knows there's something stirring in your heart that says, I need more of Jesus, more and more and more? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. This study also revealed 1/3 of Americans hold that the Bible is the actual Word of God. That is intense. Fewer than 10% believe that in countries that are similar to the United States. The United States clearly stands out as exceptional, and the exceptionalism has not been decreasing over time. They said, yeah, there are people that are leaving churches, but those are people that are casual about Christianity. Those are people that are casual about the Word of God. Those are people that are casual about their faith. But you'll find another subculture in this nation that's saying, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to get what God has for me. And I'm here to tell you that's why I can preach today. All the weather outside is frightful. But if you'll get in the church, if you'll get in the kingdom of God, if you'll give it everything that you have, you will discover that God will meet you here. Praise the name of the Lord. He says many churches are declining, but churches that take their faith seriously are the churches that are growing. in these last days, we must be serious about the Word of God. We must be serious about prayer. We must be serious about getting everything God has for us. Now, I joke a little bit about preaching to Kevin. I don't think none of this preaching is going to annoy him. But let me tell you something. As a father of a precious little one, you've got to be serious, because the church can only do so much. Let there be an altar in that home, Brother Kevin. Let your wife and your kids know we pray in this home. We read the Bible in this home. We go to church from this home. Oh, it's not something that we debate about or discuss. There's some people every Wednesday night, they've got to go through the whole process. Are we going to go or are we not going to go? Are this kid sick or are the kids not sick? All the issues. And yeah, kids get sick. And yes, we miss. But I'm telling you, there is a movement in our world that's saying we need God. We need His Word. We need His church. In this study, they said, and I quote, "Think about the church you attend relative to its belief system. It is extremely likely that if your church teaches the Bible with seriousness, calls its people to real discipleship, and encourages daily intimacy with God, it's growing." He said, "If, however, your church is theologically liberal or merely lukewarm, it is likely laying off staff and wondering how to pay this month's light bill, because people are navigating toward substantive Christianity." Can I just say, as a church family, we must teach the Bible with seriousness. We must expect true discipleship. We must encourage daily intimacy. Oh my goodness, anybody that walks through the door is welcome here. If they never open a Bible, we're just glad they've come. We're gonna love them and try to help them. But there must be a church within the church that says, "As for me and my house, we are gonna study the Word of God. We're gonna be taught the Word of God, and we're going to live the Word of God. We're going to be true disciples, and we're going to have a daily intimacy with the Lord." Because the darker the night, the more frightful on the outside, the more promise we have that God is going to pour out His Spirit upon His people. Praise God. Now, this quote from this particular study is a little bit more intense, but I want to give you some context. He says, "When the so-called progressive churches question the historicity of Jesus, deny the reality of sin, support abortion, ordain clergy in same-sex relationships, and perform their marriages, people desiring real Christianity head elsewhere." I just want you to know, I'm so thankful to be a part of a church where we can still take a stand for what the Bible teaches. It doesn't mean that we ridicule anybody. It doesn't even mean that we have a right to judge anybody. But why don't we make up our hearts, link our hearts together, because the church is more than the pastor. It's everybody from the platform to those ushers that are there at the back door. Why don't we link our hearts together and say, this is going to be one of those old-fashioned churches where if it's in the Bible, it's going to be in our lives, where we're going to trust the Word of God. Hey, it may get a little bit intense sometimes, but we're not here to play church. We're here to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Yes. And I know this is a little bit kind of hard preaching. Remember, I'm preaching to Kevin. You got to preach hard if you're going to get Kevin. But I want to say to somebody here today, you may hear this kind of preaching and say, "Oh, that church business, it's all about rules and it's all about their beliefs and all that." I just want you to know something. Sooner or later in everybody's life, it gets frightful. Sooner or later in everybody's life, it gets cold. It gets dark. And I just beg you, if we are not the church for you today, I guarantee you, if the Lord tarries, when you realize it's too lonely out here, it's too miserable, Israel about here. I need more than religion. I need more than just saying I go to church once or twice a year. I want you to know we'll still be here and the light will be shining. We'll still be here and the word of God will still be emphasized. It may be intense, but you know what? It's for everyone that's hungry. It's for everyone that's thirsty. It's for everyone that's lonely. Oh, would you clap your hands and lift your voice to the Lord today? One more area I want to emphasize, and then we'll pray. From another study, the Atlantic Daily reported more Americans are speaking in tongues because people want a spiritual experience. You want to talk intense? Look at Acts chapter 2. Picking up at verse 37, Jesus Christ was preached that he had gone to the cross, that he had died for the sins of mankind. And those that were listening to the message, the scripture says of them in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men, and brethren, what shall we do? How intense is that? That after the message was preached, there was this understanding, we got to do something. And so Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Brother Kevin, as the priest of your home, I know you're going to help make decisions, and you're not the dictator. You and Haley will work together, and you'll make decisions about your marriage and decision about your kids. And as your kids grow, if the Lord tarries his coming, you're going to want to lead and guide them so they have the best education and they make choices that will set them up for success. But I believe you also have something deep in your soul that acknowledges at some point in this process, as Cadence is old enough to understand, I'm going to let her know. No, Cadence, it's not just about going to church. It's not just about saying I'm a Christian. But Cadence, you need to know that Jesus died for your sins, that he went to Calvary for you, because if he didn't die for your sins, you were going to die for your sins. And Cadence, you've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And when she's old enough, Brother Kevin, you and Haley will have to make sure. I know the church will do what we can do, but it needs to be in the home. We may echo it in the church, but it needs to come from mom and dad. Oh, little Cadence, you've got to repent. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You've got to seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget the day when my own son came up to me in this altar and he said, Daddy, I got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Week after week, he was only five. I thought, man, he's kind of young for this. But he would say, Daddy, I've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Until there was one Sunday, I think we were somewhere right over here near the front. I said, well, what's the deal? Why can't we wait? He said, Daddy, if I'm not baptized in Jesus' name, then my sins will not be washed away. He was only 5 years old, but he understood. I thank God for a church. But I also want to say it takes a dad and it takes a mom to emphasize. You may be headed to the best schools and you may be headed to a successful future, but your success means nothing if you don't have the Spirit of God working in your life, if you haven't repented of your sins. Oh, that makes us nervous, don't it? Your success means nothing if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. Give your kids a nice house. Give your kids a nice future. But give your kids the truth. Give your kids the gospel. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment here. I wonder if anybody in this building, and I know it won't be everybody, there are some people that right now, the weather outside in your life is wonderful. You've got the best relationship. You've got the best job you've ever had. You've got plenty of money in the bank, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just not preaching to you right now. I'm preaching to somebody right now. That right now, even though you've tried to make good choices, and even though you've loved the Lord, even though you've tried to be everything you know a Christian should be, the weather outside is frightful. And as I preach to you in this simple message, the old-fashioned truth of repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I want you to know, as long as you are on the outside, it's going to seem so peculiar and it's going to seem like it's the last thing you need. But when it gets cold enough, when it gets dark enough, I want you to remember, if you can ever get filled with the Spirit of God, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It will never be enough just to see other people filled. It will never be enough just to come to a church where it happens every now and then. But until it happens to you, until the Spirit of God truly takes over your life, you will never know how delightful it is to say, thank God I've got more than religion. Thank God I've got more than even Christianity. Thank God I've got Jesus on the inside. Church, right where you're praying right now, would you intercede for just about a minute or so that the Spirit of God would reach for someone here today and help them to know, in Jesus' name, God, let them know that the Holy Ghost is for them. Let them know that baptism is for them. Let them know. In Jesus' name. 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 Can you say in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Sister April, I asked Michelle for permission to do this, but I didn't ask you. So forgive me in advance. I don't know, it may have been a while ago, but maybe not too long. April got a friendship going with Michelle. And you get around Michelle, I knew her years ago. She just seemed like personality plus. I mean, when I met her, good job. It seemed like, man, this girl's got it going on. But through her friendship with April, it seems like there's begun to be a hunger. There's something missing on the inside. Something missing on the inside. And I'm just saying that you can't always tell by looking. You look at somebody, looks like they got everything that they would need to have a great life. And I'm not trying to throw off on her life. I'm just saying, until you have Jesus on the inside. And I'm saying to this church family, please don't miss opportunities that God is putting in your path to develop friendships with people that need the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we work so hard on building relationships with people that don't know God or that haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, and we basically win them to us, but we never win them to Him. And I think we've got to win them to us first, but let's not pretend that that is enough for them. Please, somewhere, as you're seeking God for someone you love, oh God, let me share with them about the Holy Ghost. Let me share with them about the Holy Ghost. Let me share with them about the Holy Ghost. Let me share with them about the Holy Ghost. So Michelle's been coming here the last few weeks. She's been praying, man. She's got an intensity about her prayer and worship to the Lord. Intense. That fits in around here. That fits in around here. And just this past Wednesday, right over here, she was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That's awesome. And yesterday she was in a Bible study and some folks were here. I wasn't here, but some folks were here. April was here, some others. They baptized her in Jesus' name. That's awesome. What's awesome about that to me is that Michelle, she's known the Lord for a long time. She's loved the Lord for a long time. But there were things on the outside that kind of indicated to her, I need something more on the inside. And I asked for permission to share this. This is a portion of an email she sent to me after she received the Holy Ghost on Wednesday. She said, first of all, God is good. I never want this supernatural feeling to leave. It's like a natural high. She said as she was praying to God, and I think this is so powerful. She said, I confessed my unworthiness. She said, I even yelled out, I'm not worthy. And I began to praise his holy name. She said, then this peace began to fill my body. And she said, I was speaking things that did not make sense, but I could not stop because it just felt right. That's intense. That's intense. And that's what kind of church you're in right now. That's what kind of church we'll always be by the grace of God. Where everybody can come and be welcome. And if you're not ready for intense, we're just glad you're here. But if it's cold on the outside, if it's dark on the outside, if it's frightful on the outside, Jesus Christ wants to be on the inside. Would you stand with me? And if you're comfortable, would you raise your hands? And if you're in the church and you've been serving God filled with the Holy Ghost, would you pray, Jesus, lead me to somebody so that I can have a significant conversation about the Holy Ghost? Lead me to somebody so that I can have a significant encounter with someone that's ready for you to be on the inside. And if you're here today, and there are things happening outside your world. There's a storm brewing that's way more severe than the weather that we had this morning in Winston-Salem. Could you just believe the word of God today? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you would cry out for Jesus on the inside, if you would cry out for Jesus on the inside, Jesus, I'm not worthy. You can pray the way Michelle prayed. You can use your own words, but it's okay to say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins and forgive me for anything that keeps me from more of you. But Jesus, I want that peace. I want that power. I want that joy. I want that spirit.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
I wonder if all over this sanctuary right now, you could just take your prayer to a level of intensity that's just a little bit more than where we're at right now. All over this sanctuary. All over this sanctuary, you could just take your prayer to a place of intensity. What does the Bible say? The effectual, fervent prayer. Whatever would be a little bit more intense for you, whatever would be just a little bit more intensity for you. I'm not telling anybody to pray as loud as I'm praying. I'm not telling anybody to do something that somebody else is doing. But there's somebody in this building that you're outside right now is tearing you apart. You're outside right now. It's so stormy. It's so cold. It's so frightful. You're outside right now. Your world right now, even though you love the Lord, even though you believe in Jesus, you're outside right now. It's dark. It's dark. It's scary. But if you would just say, Jesus, let me feel your love right now on the inside. Let me feel your power right now on the inside. Let me feel your touch right now on the inside. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ikalama kasataya la 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 masaya. Ia ya la la.